good evening, lots of staff and city council members. I think some of us are still wandering in. We do have a few that were absent, were unable to come. So council member Prophet and Lovelady are unable to be here. But this is the first of many work sessions about the budget, so their input will still be obviously taken into account. So DeCarlin, I'm just going to kick this over to you.
Sure, kind of like we did last year. In order to introduce the budget, we really want to get an idea of City Council's priorities. So what we're going to do is we'll talk about the priorities from last year and then discuss what our priorities are going to next year's budget. And so with that, I'll turn over to Matthew Liu, Finance Director, to kind of go through the slides, the presentation, and then we'll be open for questions.
So first of all, we kind of wanted to start by going over the strategic priorities for the city. So we'll go through the strategic priorities, some of the priorities that were set by council last year, what has happened in the budget to address those, and then we'll go into what you all may want to see in the budget this year. The 24 city council priorities are as follow. We had number one was employees, followed by community engagement, affordable housing, social services, public transit, infrastructure, and the cap. Okay, so in fiscal year 24, we addressed the employees priority by doing the 4% across the board increase, 2% across the board at fiscal year, the beginning of 24, the implementation of the class and comp study. We also did paid FMLA, the additional city holiday, and then we increased vacation time by 8 hours. As far as community engagement goes, we've hired the engagement coordinator now. We've budgeted for the Community Connector program. We purchased OpenGov.
Matthew, can I interrupt you really quick?
Yes.
Do you want us to ask questions as we go along or save them till the end?
No, this is just a quick rundown.
Okay.
And then we'll
get to it. So, Council, if you have a question, like a clarification, just save it for the end of this part.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry.
But if you have something that has to do with this specific priority, go ahead, just jump right in and ask me.
Can you go back a slide then?
Yes,
because
ma'am.
Nick Foster had a question.
Yes.
Well, and I'll just turn this here so people can hear me. When I see this, I think also about what's happened in previous years. So I think it's important to contextualize what we did in terms of employee pay with 23. With what happened in 22 and previous to that as well. So if you can just, I ask for this every once in a while and it's buried somewhere in my email, I know, but it would just be helpful to have that to contextualize what we've done previously. Because I think it's important to note that these are not the first.
That's correct.
Across the board increases that employees have had.
That's
in
correct.
Recent years.
So are you requesting that we give you the percentages that happened in like 23?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. This was 23, right?
No, just no. One is 23.
Oh, they're 24, sorry. So yeah, 23 and maybe
changes.
22 as well. I don't know, just wherever. Honestly, with Carlin's coming on, we've seen several efforts to address employee pay and it's not all contained in just one single year, and I think that's significant. Okay, thanks.
I had a question on that same slide, and I don't expect you to know this off the top of your head, but I'd be curious to know what was the specific cost of adding that additional city holiday?
The additional city holiday?
Mm-hmm.
There is a number for that.
Yep.
But I don't want to give you a wrong number. So
oh, you're good.
I'll get back to that.
I'm making a list of these items so that we can get that information back out.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, back on community engagement. So I think just the final two is what I hadn't covered, the open gov for budgeting, which we'll see. That's being implemented as we do the 25 budget, so you'll see a lot more of that upcoming as we go through the budget sessions this year. And then C-Click Fix, or the Como, I can't exactly, what, where's Sydney at?
Be Heard Como.
Be Heard. That's what it's called, Be Heard Como.
Hopefully so there's a budget page on Be Heard Como soon, but yeah.
Okay. Then we did the affordable housing. So this is what we've done to support affordable housing within the 24 budget. We wanted to set these up to show you that you set the priorities and we implemented those into the budget. So just kind of making a checklist of what we have done with the budget. So we have created the new Housing and Neighborhood Services Department, hired the director. And so hopefully we can continue this in the 25 as well.
Could we also, under this, have a sort of a list at some point of the funding that the city has for this?
Yes.
You know, the CDBG funding and the whatever other, you know, the ARPA funding, whatever, because this looks sort of wimpy, and I don't think it is.
No,
it's
definitely not. We kind of stayed away from putting the numbers in most of these, but yes, we can definitely provide the numbers for you along with the total package of what this looks like.
Were the plans to put the numbers in later then, or is this just a overview?
This was just, high overview.
Okay.
Just kind of discussion with you all.
Okay.
But we'll definitely provide that for you.
Okay, thanks.
And then social services, and we did a lot of extensive work here for the social services programs. Funded the social services contracts for over $1 million. We added $600,000 for utility assistance. We budgeted to increase the funding for overnight emergency shelter to year round. We did the homeless drop-in services for 7 days a week as well. And then we sustained funding for street outreach services.
Matt, I imagine similar to the employee compensation increase, the percentages that have been for social services funding over the last few years to show the incremental increases would be appreciated.
Will do. And then we have the public transportation. We're still fare free, although we do need to begin to look at that one, as we are not keeping up with the expenses that we have on that. So we've been fare free since 21, and we're starting to feel it this year. So just a FYI.
Could we get that split out also, that transportation sales tax isn't at like 50% for something and 25% for something else? And like where is this money coming from and where is it going? I know for a while it was going to the airport, but I thought we had that funding under control.
Yes, the funding. So there, during the pandemic, the FAA basically paid for our bus services. And so that funding stopped. I believe it stopped last year. And so this year was the first year where it's a full year of no additional funding. We still have a grant that we receive for transportation, but it's not enough to cover all of the cost.
At some point, could we see those numbers?
Yes, we definitely could.
And so let's want to make sure we get what you're asking for. So you're asking for a breakdown of the transportation sales tax, so we know exactly how that's allocated, but then also a breakdown of the
expenses.
Transit expenses for the last few years.
Thank you. I did not add that, but yes, you're right.
I was thinking that I didn't say it, but
okay, thanks.
Before we move on that one, I know we have a consultant that is helping us review our transit, the future of transit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure when that report is coming back to us, but I imagine that should help this discussion on what we need to do, especially related to fares. Sure. When is that supposed to come back to us?
Dang.
So we're due to get the final report in either August or September of this year. They'll be at the Public Transportation Advisory Commission in March to talk about the results of the information they gathered at the IP meeting that was at the Wabash. They're planning another IP meeting, I think, in coordination with Earth Day in April, because we had a lot of good feedback at Earth Day in a previous year. But August, September is when we should have that, and it does include an economic analysis.
Okay. So is your thought then, as we're reviewing public transportation now in the financial health of it, like, are we going to have to do something and then be told to do a different advice once we get that report, or do we have an idea from what we've heard so far from a consultant?
Sure. I anticipate having a little bit better handle on it with the report, you know, what other places are doing, where we're planning to go with transit in general. I think right now the best we can do is just provide you with what it's looked like over the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And how the funding has changed and what that's done to transit.
Okay.
I wouldn't suggest making any changes until we had that report and could go forward with our eyes open.
Okay. Thank you, Shane.
Oh.
Nick Foster.
Not for you, Shane, necessarily.
Amen to that.
Stay close.
I'm thinking that with all of these priorities, there are other studies, both external and internal, that are taking place. I'm thinking of to address compression, for instance, with pay. So I think it'd be good for us to be able to have those alongside all of these, so we just have an idea of what we've got ongoing that's going to help us address this. My suspicion is that with something like that, like the transit study, that could definitely impact what we do with the budget, and that might come later on, fairly late in the process. So just would be good to know that kind of thing too.
Yeah, I think when we start looking at numbers, so when we look at our expenses, the cost for employees is part of that cost.
Yeah.
So that will be part of the numbers you'll see when you look at the overall cost for transit. But you're right, as we look forward going outward, now we know that we're going to pay more for drivers. If we add additional routes, we're going to pay more for that cost. We'll pay more for, so it all kind of plays off of itself. But we can kind of give you what we have, and as the study kind of goes a little bit further along, we'll be able to make adjustments as well. So this 25 budget may not fully address all our changes that we need to do for transportation. And hopefully by 26, we'll have more of an idea of exactly what we need. But we'll be able to at least have a conversation to start.
Thank you, Matt.
Problem. And then finally, we have our infrastructure and cap implementation. So I think one is one I want to brag about a little bit, and that's the receiving the state's only charging and fueling infrastructure grant. We made a concerted effort in 24 to tie goals that apply back to that cap, which I think is very important, as well as a strategic plan. We spent over $32 million in proposed for capital improvement projects, sewer rehabilitation, major maintenance on Garth, the police precinct, the phase two of the North Miley Bottom facility. That was basically it on infrastructure and cap. Are there anything else that you all wanted to go over from the previous priorities? Nope. Okay. So going to 25. And so here we wanted to sort of identify what your priorities are for 25. If you wanted to use any ongoing priorities, if you wanted to go all new or do a mix of the two. And so we are all ears for those priorities.
So did you have guiding questions that you wanted to use for this or just open-ended conversation?
I think probably the one thing that we could do is we can start with our existing priorities and see which ones we want to continue to move forward.
As a reminder, it doesn't mean that these are not actual things that the city is working on. It's just as far as you are, if you're identifying additional new services or additional funding to help us with the prioritization.
Right. I mean, right now we're just we're still good at that high level view of here are the things as you're putting together the budget that we say are the most important things to make sure that we're including in our budget numbers.
Right. And again, this is not the only time we'll have an opportunity to influence on this piece, because I imagine some will probably come out in May as well.
Absolutely. This is that first blush approach. Right. I mean, and this is more conceptual. As we get further along to the budget process, we'll get into actual projects.
Matt, would you mind going back to slide with our priority slide 3, just so we have those up for us to be talking about? Thank you. And related to that, I think it might be useful too, DeCarlin, besides what was in fiscal year 24, are there any current tasks that are coming up in these that you expect for us to see? For instance, for employees, compression.
Yes.
Study and the potential impacts of that, when that might happen, just so we know, or if there's any other ones that we can expect that you'll be presenting as well.
Yeah, so I think to kind of start off, the first thing is the employees. We know that was a major priority for us going into the 24 budget, and actually the budgets before that. We know that compression is going to be a big part of that, and so looking at how do we address compression. We will be pretty solid in the things that we do for our employees. I'm not sure if we'll add additional benefits, but I think that compression discussion alone is could be a huge impact.
And a huge dollar amount?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else on the remaining 5?
Sure. So the affordable housing, we've just started the housing department. And so the director hasn't even started yet. And so realizing with a new director coming on board, there may be an opportunity to add additional staff. And we know there'll be definitely discussions on different projects around not just affordable housing, but housing in general. And so that's gonna be a huge uptick of some of the things we're gonna work on. Community engagement. While we have the coordinator on board, we have not started the connector program. That's going to be a cost. The idea would be that we'll have residents that are quote unquote connectors, and we don't want people to volunteer. We like to give them a stipend. What that is, what that looks like is something we need to develop out. We talked about public transportation. That's, once we get the transit study, that'll help hopefully direct us on what we can do in order to make improvements to our transit system. And infrastructure continues to stay and continue to grow.
Yeah. All right, so I'll just kind of go around for council. Probably what I'll ask is for us to look at our existing ones first for kind of the questions or reviews that you might have. And then if there's other ones that are not listed here, we'll do that kind of second or maybe in addition to if it's related to one of these. So Betsy, you had your hand up.
I had, I guess, 2 comments. One is, about affordable housing. The other thing we're looking at is that central city overlay, but I'm also wondering whether we need to go back and start looking at the unified development code again. I'm thinking that was passed in 2017, although I might be off a year. And I think, weren't we supposed to like look at that? This is probably a little before your time, DeCarlin, but I think we're supposed to look at that like in 4 or 5 years. And I think we're there. And there's certainly been some discussion as to whether we need to look at the way our unified development code addresses zoning and development to try and do a better job with affordable housing. So some of that all interconnects.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the unified development code has been very high in that list. You know, we talk about affordable housing all the time, but it's like, well, you know, what are the issues as to why we're having so much difficulty with it? And everybody's having difficulty.
No, I mean, that's a good point. I think we're hoping that out of the study that's being done with Boone County, that that'll help us look at some of the barriers that we do have that's affecting our ability for affordable housing. I'll let Tim kind of talk about the uniform code and see if there's a plan to relook at those.
Because it is part of your question to wonder if we need to make sure that in the budget is if we need to hire somebody to assist with an update to it. And I know in this budget we do have, I think you have funds to update the comprehensive plan, or right, at least the update, and I don't know the relationship between the two.
Yeah, one thought connects to what city manager just said about the housing study. I just did my interview with that consultant. They put a lot of emphasis on how we zone housing, and so I think they're going to come up mm-hmm. with a number of recommendations that are germane to changes we might want to consider to our codes. So that's one thought. Another thought is the small lot project that the Planning and Zoning Commission's working on already. That'll come to you soon, and this lot sizes and widths. They have some proposals they're working on there. But yeah, I think more generally, we could probably brainstorm some other things that we need to do with the code. I'm thinking of things like these tiny house villages or developments where you have several on a lot. We probably need a good way to establish those in our land.
Do you imagine there's a fiscal impact that we need to think about as far as the budget, or is that?
Can't estimate just yet. The study that Councilperson Peters references, that's going to have recommendations of things we do with our code, so that's already a project we're budgeted for.
Do you know off the top of your head, because we're talking about kind of two different studies, right? There's the countywide housing study, and then there's the central area overlay study.
Yeah.
What's the timeline on each of those?
We're looking at, it'll be to the end of the year for the central area one. Not sure about the county's study. They do have some public information on
it. Yeah, but they
upward mobility site.
Right, they've just hired the contractor, so they're just starting to do interviews. So you're still looking at something that's probably 6 months to 9 months out before you have anything reported out.
So both would be, you know, end of this calendar year, if not beginning of next calendar year.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You said you had two. Did you have another one, or were they related, Betsy?
I was wondering, and maybe this is not the right venue, but the community engagement and the community engagement coordinator that you have, and then the, like what is the plan for this?
And so for the engagement coordinator, the biggest plan is to actually do a better job of engaging our citizens, do a better job of actually being in front of programs and in front of groups and in front of citizens. So we're going to where they are as opposed to expecting them to come to us. For the Connector program, it's actually hiring residents to be that bridge. They know their neighborhood, they know their neighbors, they can provide opportunities for us to actually have impactful conversations with residents without us trying to hope that they'll come to our meetings to kind of give us input. It's us going out to those neighborhoods and actually talking to them about their concerns, their issues, their directives to kind of help better bridge some of our opportunities with our residents.
So is that intermingling with public safety?
It could. So that's one of the things that I talked to Shauna Johnson is the person we hired to be the engagement coordinator. I talked to her last week about, as we're looking at our connectors, also having an eye toward how are we doing community policing, how are we having the opportunities to give officers opportunities to talk to residential groups. So that will be part of our whole process as we roll it out.
Because I guess that would be the other thing that's not on this list, really, is public safety, although it's usually on everybody's list. When I look at it, I'm like, oh.
Right.
I know we've funded it. I mean, we're hoping to get more officers and improve, you know, our staffing. But It probably needs to be on here somewhere.
Yeah. Hold on, Nick Foster, and then Don. Nick, you had your hand up.
Oh. Let Don go. But
oh, we can. No, you had it up before.
Let's go from the left.
I'll go left or right. Don?
No, let's not fight.
Don, go.
I think to address your point, Betsy was talking about public safety. One of the things, and again, maybe a little down into the weeds, but we had a presentation talking about the retirement funding for the police and firefighters. And, you know, so as we're talking about employees and compression, I think we should also include that. And, you know, that is going to have an issue with public safety as far as, you know, retention and keeping individuals looking for retirement, towards retirement.
Mm-hmm. Did you have more, Don?
The affordable housing. Like you said, we've set the program up. I think what I would like to see going forward, whether more as we get into FY24, but then FY25, is what are we actually doing to put roofs over people's heads? Give me, you know, some numbers, how many roofs or whatever, and that. And I realize that some of that is then going to come down defining affordable housing a little bit, because it's, you know, all relative. But defining affordable housing, X amount of rent, Y amount of mortgage payment, whatever. But again, what are we doing to put actual roofs over people's heads?
Well, and so, and I think, I mean, that's, I think that's an important conversation when we start talking about housing, because the city itself doesn't build homes. We don't.
Right.
We don't.
What can we do to facilitate?
And so that's going to be the question. If the idea is, how do we incentivize affordable housing? No, there's a cost associated with that, and there's different cities that have figured out different ways to pay for it, but that there is usually some kind of tax, some type of process to raise funds in order to incentivize developers to buy down the cost to make it affordable for people to own those homes. And so I think that will be part of our conversation. I think that'll be part of the larger conversation of how do we get there. When we look at housing, the one thing that people have said and that needs to be noted is that Columbia doesn't just have an affordable housing problem, it has a housing itself problem. So we have to look at housing across all spectrums. So it's making sure that as we're talking to developers and builders, we create processes that makes it easier for them. Not so easy that they are getting around doing regulations, because we regulate for purpose, but we make it easier. We don't put up undue difficult hurdles just for the sake of putting up hurdles. So it's just having a process. But you're right, when we talk about housing and affordable housing, we really do look at how do we incentivize those developments to occur.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And then finally, the last one, either community engagement / social services is the number of volunteer organizations, and maybe this is in the budget, and maybe it's part of my naivete with it, but how do we fund them? What is the level of funding? And, you know, is there possibly working towards increasing that if we can?
Can you clarify what an example of a volunteer organization?
Sure. For example, the new one that was just stood up, Hope and Peace. Julian Jackman and Lonnie, I'm sorry, I always blank on his last name. But the one that they just set up, they just opened up their facility down here on Providence. In talking with them, Julian impresses the heck out of me. Mm-hmm. And that with what he's doing and that and his message and where he's working to try and reach the children, not junior high and high schoolers, but the children before they get there. And what can we do to support that?
That's a great question. The hard part with, there's some social services that we easily fund because we get funding from state agencies that we are passed through. There's some things that come out of general fund because we're funding those different agencies. For like Julian and Lonnie, their funding came from ARPA. That didn't come directly from the city coffers.
Right, to start with. But
right.
Again, given them their mission and then bringing them all together, and I think it kind of goes to the mayor's position about the
Office
public
of
violence.
Prevention.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, rolling that all up together, and that, and how can we support that initiative, support these groups that are in the streets doing the work. And again, sometimes it's more just what can we do to support you and get out of the way and let them run.
One minute comes to me, that would be kind of one of my questions for the future ones is the we've started a lot of initiatives lately that are, especially the ones that are in study form, mm-hmm. that are then going to have recommended expenditures with them. And so the housing recommendations come out of there. Those potential incentives will have a dollar amount to them.
Yep.
And, you know, some of these things are going to be fiscal year 26
mm-hmm.
is what they're doing. Or do we save something back in fiscal year 25 knowing that the study is coming and we might have a mid-year appropriation based on those recommendations? So I think guidance on that is appreciated. Mm-hmm. Similar to the discussion around the Office of Violence Prevention, you know, I know that staff has met with the kind of national organizers of that and talking about what a good, successful office looks like. And I know we're kind of tasked our new assistant city manager to help us with this. Knowing what how we should help support those in the budget would be appreciated. But I don't want us to say a dollar figure because I don't know. And I trust that to the professionals.
And I think that's... Talk. And that's what we were trying to get out of this conversation.
Is the high level?
Is keep
okay.
us up here.
Okay.
And then when we come to the budget, we can bring you, thoughts, and then you can say, well, no, that's not enough. We want to do more or do less or do this or do that.
Don, did you have any more?
That'll do it for me for the okay. moment. Thank you.
All right, Nick Foster.
When I look at the priorities, it's sort of like. Yes, I don't. Yeah, exactly. And public safety is not on this list, but I think, especially with the Office of Violence Prevention, that there's an opportunity there. With infrastructure, I wonder if we have some catching up to do there, especially in terms of electric and mm-hmm. what we need to look at that way. With social services, I'm wondering what PHHS would have to say about that. And a lot of what we've done with social services is to address homelessness. And appropriately so. At the same time, I'm wondering what else needs to be done. Where are the needs? And the county is in the process of a health assessment right now. And that's another one of those studies that may very well inform what we're looking at and what we're going to do. So in light of the studies that are going on and in light of what has been done, a part of me wants to say, let's take what's going and see if we can't just firm everything up. You know, get the housing office in place, get the violence prevention office in place. DEI is still young, and I want to be sure that they're good. What you've got with program managers moving into the CMO, I think we want to be sure that is in a good place. Going back to housing, I just wonder whether we're going to need to look at capacity for doing what we've asked that department to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's another thing to keep in mind. So I sort of see a number of these things. We're just sort of waiting to know what's going to happen. But in terms of the priorities, I think they remain pretty much the same. I would just say an overarching priority for me would be let's move this stuff into implementation and see what needs to be done. In that sense, this might be a bridge year, because when you look back at everything that has been done over the past year, it's a good bit. I mean, and there are a lot of new programs and a lot of new activities that are taking place. So community engagement being another one of those. And so I want to see what happens now that we've started that ball rolling. And what do we need to keep it rolling?
I appreciate that.
My turn?
Yeah.
So going back to employees, so just for context, I asked about that cost for the additional city holiday because I haven't been able to help but notice that President's Day or Washington's birthday or whatever somebody wants to refer to it as is not a holiday we acknowledge or observe. And the only reason I mention that in my case is the county, the state, and the federal government does. And so we're certainly the odd man out there. And I look at that not just through, you know, everybody always wants another day off. I doubt anybody would complain about that. But more so through the lens of we try to, these are people we compete with, for employees. And if this is just one more thing we could do, I'm not saying we should do it, but I'm interested in us thinking about it and knowing the cost, because I know there is a cost of some sort, because some folks still do have to come to work. That's why I bring that up.
So I think it helped to clarify how many floating holidays do employees get? Because I think they gave them the option
in
previous city. But you're right. Like,
yeah, floating holidays is not the same thing. Like, those are great too.
Right. And so when you if you tack on our floating holidays with the normal holidays that we have, we do have quite a bit. And I agree, floating holidays may not be. It's not saying here's a day that you have that's dedicated toward you. It's more of if you use it and people use it as a vacation time or a float around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we can get you that information on what the cost would be.
Yeah, I appreciate that. On the housing, doesn't really fall under it necessarily, but one of the amendments we did in the last budget was for an increase to the Neighborhood Services Clean Neighborhood Program, or I think that's the name, pretty close. I would be curious on an update on, you know, that was a noticeable increase in funding for that program and how that has gone thus far, and, you know, whether or not we should keep that increase. So curious to see that. That just popped up. All right. Social services for utility assistance. Am I mistaken? I don't think I am. I might just be confusing with something else, though. But we increased utility services both from within our budget process and then also did some utility assistance with ARPA dollars. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And similar to the neighborhood services one, I would be curious for an update on, you know, how have those dollars all been utilized? What's the burn rate compared to previous years with that larger coffer and everything about that? That would be good to know. And let's see. Forgetting something, one second. Oh, public safety, again, not on here. But, DeCarlin, you had discussed at one point, or I shouldn't say at one point, kind of ongoing, making some additional payments to the fire and police pensions.
Mm-hmm.
When can we expect to have kind of more information or have a work session on that, or kind of where's that at currently?
We have to schedule it out. So I mean, it would go into the upcoming budget process.
Right.
So for the dollar amount, but we just need to schedule the work session with the council.
And I believe you're doing that's with the both review boards, the pension review board. Is that correct? With those who serve on it? Is that what you're talking about?
So you don't actually have to have a meeting with the pension boards in order to increase that funding. It doesn't have to come from them. You can establish that as one of your priorities just by informing the city manager that that's something that you want to dedicate more resources toward as part of the priorities.
Okay.
I mean, that's based upon the actuarial plans and other things that you receive.
Right.
I mean, you can have a joint meeting with them, but you don't have to have one if that is your concern.
Yeah, I believe and my fellow consultants can correct me if I'm misremembering, you know, but we had requested the actuarial analysis that occurred. We have that information back. I know that's been analyzed by staff, and then staff has a recommendation of some sort. And so the thought process is to establish a work session, including to some extent, you know, a representative from each of those boards, perhaps, to at least involve them in the conversation, given that that's, you know, something that they spend a lot of time on.
You wanted to piggyback on that?
I made this note, and then I didn't mention anything about it. We made these awards out of ARPA funding, and some of those awards are going a long way to standing up some organizations that are very young in our community. That's good. They're going to spend through that money by the end of 27, and I think we just need to keep in mind what that might look like for a city budget post-ARPA. And I just raise it as something to keep in mind. I have no recommendation to make at this time, but it's just something I think we need to keep in mind.
And then my last item, this, which is kind of speaks to both the planning department, but also the housing department, on the affordable housing subject, which is, you know, I think it seems clear from my perspective, which, you know, value that how you will, that, you know, part of the challenge is going to be staff capacity, because that's currently a challenge. And so I would really hope that both of those departments, you know, don't shy away from making a request should they need that, so that we can accomplish our goals, whether that is amending the code, helping shepherd affordable housing projects along, or all the various and I'm sure diverse things that the housing department will start working on in the near future.
Absolutely. In fact, we're probably going to bring a request for an additional position in the next couple of weeks, next couple of budget, next couple of months, because if we already know that some of the things that were the expectations are for dealing with some of the programming stuff that's opposite the CDBG stuff, but similar, we're going to need another person to do that.
And that's just the housing department specifically?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
I think similar to Nick Foster, kind of like firming up what it is that we've been doing in these areas, especially the things related to expenditures of the studies that we've done. Like the thing I hate the most is doing a study and then just it sits on a shelf and you don't do anything with it. And so if there's, if we can kind of set aside, I don't know, it's not necessarily set aside, but kind of bucket in this assumption that there's probably going to be a mid-year change based on these studies that are finishing at the end of the year. That we're going to want to fund, I think will help us, especially when we talk about housing. I remember last year when we were talking about short-term rentals coming up and we asked, what do we think the increase in the needs of staff are going to be? And then we didn't have anything proposed to us about increasing staff. So I think what you're hearing, I mean, like, is that in order to meet the goals that we have, be realistic on what is the ask for us. Because people over projects, like this is this idea, right, that we have the people to do the projects is going to be important.
No, I was going to say that's actually one of the things that I've actually taxed the department directors with. No, tell me what you need in order to be successful.
Yeah. Related to that, you know, on this list, these are things that are usually general fund expenditures. Like, yes, there's employees to our enterprise funds and there's infrastructure for enterprise funds, but these are kind of related to that. But especially when we get into capital implementation and infrastructure, like we have a lot of utilities expenditures that, you know, a lot of it's routine. It's just the way we kind of go forward and go on. But, you know, previous councils and this council have tasked us with like really thinking towards the future on making sure that we have the infrastructure as the city continues to grow so we're not having to come back. So if there are suggestions that are coming out of there, I know we're gonna talk in future months about, you know, revenues coming in from our, especially enterprise, and what needs to change. I think some of those projects that we know need to happen in order to really sustain this growth, I'd like to know about and to start really investing in now so that it's cheaper now than it will be in 10 years, I'm sure. Those are big ones. And then the other is we had a presentation a couple weeks ago about, it was part of the Ready meeting, and they were talking about people who are leaving Columbia. Mm-hmm. And it's that kind of sweet spot in their 30s that are leaving Columbia, kind of going to Kansas City, Chicago, places with more going on. And it makes me think we've had multiple people coming to us asking us for increasing funding and cultural affairs and parks and things that kind of add to the vibrancy of a community. And so if staff has recommendations for what we could do for that, I'm all ears, because, you know, I think I want to, you know, the basics of city government, we want to fund and we want to fund well, but we also want to make sure that we're not just maintaining stagnation and that we are embracing the things that really make Columbia special. And so if there's opportunities or suggestions that staff has, I'd be interested in hearing those. And then to go back to one of our first comments was, you know, we talked about the Office of Violence Prevention last year. We put some money into the budget for this year. I'm expecting to see some other sort of action on that, knowing that the public safety need as we're increasing staff and trying to help with recruitment for our officers. At the same time, those who are working in community organizations to help reduce the call for service, I think, is appreciated on both ends. So knowing the suggestions and ideas from staff on that would be appreciated. Anything else from council questions? there any other new priorities besides the ones we've listed? I think, I mean, we chose these for reasons. And I think having the knowledge on, for some of these staff's then response to Carlin, for you and from your department leadership, what other projects might be coming up would be helpful at the next one, as well as is there anything coming off the list from a staff priorities?
These little boxes beside each one, but I don't think they're check boxes.
I don't think so either. Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least if they are, I don't think we're ready to put a pin to the box. Yeah. Not yet.
Not yet, no, sir.
Yeah. And then I, at some point in time, it's probably not part of this fiscal year, but when we talk about revenues, mm-hmm. I think as our community continues to grow, thinking about how are other communities supporting that growth, different revenue streams, is there other opportunities that we have for funding specific services that the city offers, and just like starting the conversation now so that it's not a surprise in 5 years if we have to go to the voters for something.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is there anything else that you need from us on this set?
If I can, I'd just like to go back through real quick and just repeat what I heard you all say as kind of the priorities as they stand.
And one comment on that, right? So this is kind of our brain dump mm-hmm. on these. I would like for us to like continue the conversation, like these are not set in stone, because some might be more, Council, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but some might be more stronger priority than others are a nice to have.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
So what I heard was continuing on with affordable housing and what that plan looks for. Public safety, especially with the Office of Violence Prevention and how that plays into social services as well as additional social services. Infrastructure, making sure that we are prepared for the future, seeing what we need. Employees, still focusing on that cost of perhaps adding a different vacation and then perhaps increasing pensions. And then economic development, cultural affairs, parks, how are we going to raise revenues and make Columbia the place people want to live? Yes, sir.
Done.
Regarding the employees and pensions, it's not so much increasing the pensions, it's making sure that they're funded.
I think. And then the other one is just as the few studies that we have going on that are going to be finishing up after the fiscal year starts, how do we think towards that? And I don't know if it's possible, but just it makes me think about what we're going to be. We're going to finish up a study 3 months after the fiscal year starts and then not be able to do anything for another 9 months. So just what options we have. Yeah, Betsy.
I think we're doing this anyway, but the whole infrastructure and even more specifically the enterprise funds to get a better handle on the budgets for those departments or those services or whatever. And I think that, I think DeCarlin said that was coming up.
For the discussion of some of the bond issuance.
Oh, okay, just on the bond issuance, as opposed to just how we're doing with the infrastructure in general?
Well, so I
or
guess.
Not infrastructure, the enterprise funds.
Yeah, so if I thought you were looking for a conversation about where we're at with all our bonding capacity, how many projects.
Yes, that would be one of those things.
Yes. So that's one. That one we're prepared to bring forward on a discussion on.
Okay.
Any other questions from us, Andrea?
No, I just, if I can real quick, just go back through the request for more additional information that you all did ask. And then if there's other things that you need, then we can get that for you. So Mr. Foster asked for getting FY23 and FY22 information on employee compensation, getting kind of what it's been like throughout the years. Cost of additional holiday, city holiday, what Veterans Day cost the city. A list of funding for affordable housing, what possibilities are out there. Get percentage increases for social services, what we've done over the past few years and what that increase looks like. Transportation sales tax breakdown, where is the funding coming from and where is it going? Breakdown of transit expenses for the past few years. The cost of the Clean Neighborhood Program and how is it being handled and how is that going currently? And then the cost of the ARPA utility assistance and what is the effect that that's had on the community? Were there any items that I missed or got wrong?
I just want to clarify on the utility assistance. In addition to what you said, also kind of understanding, you know, how much it's actually been utilized, that increase in like the burn rate.
And the only other one I added was similar to when Nick Foster asked to show the past few years percentages increases for employee compensation, to show the same for our transit. By having free transit, the kind of like cost that we've put into that. And then I was going to ask you guys as we're wrapping up, what are the next steps? So I know, you know, we'll have some different meetings on the different, especially enterprise funds. I imagine we'll have a conversation probably at the retreat. What do we have a timeline for the next steps of the budget process for on a council's perspective?
For the council's perspective, I'm not sure if we'll have another work session in between now and our CAP planning, but. Or CIP, not CAP. But we plan to have the CIP meeting with you all sometime late May, early June. Was that the timeline? So we're going to separate the CIP from the budget. We'll do the CIP first. You got something different to call?
No, I was just, okay. just trying to add my two cents.
Okay. And so... That'll sort of kick off the real budgeting session with you all.
We talked about doing a work session on revenues.
That would be in March.
Correct.
In March.
There is a work session scheduled, I believe, the 25th. Is that right, Christina? That we wanted to get scheduled to talk about revenues. And where revenues are with the city and how do we increase revenues? What can we look at for those types of options? And then we also wanted to do a work session just on the capital, the CIP.
So March 25th is spring break, so I'm going to say no.
Okay. Then I will get back to you because I don't think we did pick that. I will get those dates. I thought those had already been sent out. We'll get those for sure tomorrow.
And then... that's when we can have that health breakdown of the enterprise funds for you as well.
Okay. What breakdown? I'm sorry.
Enterprise funds.
The health for the enterprise funds.
Yeah. Okay. And just a quick clarification, CIP work session is not just related to the upcoming ballot.
Correct.
It's more on like our actual CIP, the current projects planning and the money associated with it.
That's correct.
Okay. Betsy has a question.
I thought at one point that the CIP, the one going forward for the next 10 years, was going to be on the August ballot. That was a thought. That was a original schedule, which I'm guessing we're not going to meet.
No. Which is fine. That one we should meet.
How?
Because I think the plan is to have a conversation with you about the ballot initiative. And Shane, when were you planning on bringing that? Was that May? Right, and so last time you without actually having your complete list done, so the idea for what Matt's talking about is separating our CIP budget from the regular budget, and so right now it's kind of conflated where we're doing it both at the exact same time, and you really don't give enough real onus to our capital projects, and so we want to separate that to have that as a separate budget process as opposed to our regular budget.
And I'm happy to have it as a separate budget process. My questions are related to what's going to be on that and then the ability to get that information out to the citizens, that we have enough time to actually look at it and make sure the city council's okay with it, and then enough time to actually get it out so that the citizens know what they would be voting on in August. So that's what my concern is. Having a scheduling.
No, so we're just talking about two different processes. One is the capital budget itself, and then one's our 10-year CIP. which we'll get that list to you soon. I think we have a meeting scheduled with the mayor. We met with each council member, then we're going to meet with the mayor, and then we're going to bring something forward as a for work session.
For the ballot?
For the ballot initiative. That's separate from the actual capital budget.
And have you had a chance to meet with every council member? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I have not, so I assume I will too.
So for you.
Okay. 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 So revenues work session, hopefully in March, and then in May, do of the current CIP plan budget.
I think revenues will be in April, and then the CIP will be in June.
Okay.
So,
and then the regular budget will be in July.
Okay.
So I have a question about the revenues thing. I asked about this the other day, about what we know in terms of the impact of the use tax and the marijuana mm-hmm. tax, and we're not quite there yet. And really being able to draw any conclusions, right. Will that be any different in April?
No.
And I think that this is another thing we just need to keep in mind as we're doing these things. I'm sure there'll be projections and that kind of thing, but there won't be a finality about it because we just haven't lived with either one of these long enough, and will not have, I suppose,
right.
Even by the fall when we're making decisions about it. Is that right. Fair to yeah. say?
I would say that's pretty fair. We will have a few months of marijuana sales tax, though, by that time. Use tax, we're starting to understand that picture right now, and it looks like it's coming in a little higher than we first expected, but at the same time, our sales tax has been down. Not actually down, but we've sort of leveled off, so we'll get to see if we will continue that trend or if they'll peak or drop.
But when we're talking about our revenues, we're not just looking at the use tax and the marijuana tax. It's looking at all our revenues. It's looking yes. at parks and rec. It's looking at business sure. licenses. So it's
just these are newer.
Yeah, these are newer, yeah. But it's still looking at the whole makeup of who we are.
I mean, I assume property taxes, because of some changes have been there, there's probably some volatility in what we can anticipate. Although there, you probably have a better idea.
Yeah, property tax is your most stable tax. Yeah. And so you can pretty much just draw a line and see where you will end up the next year. So there's not too much worry about property tax unless they continue to chop away at it at the state.
Yeah.
It's just something we need to be really aware of.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Do you have any other questions to council?
I think we have a good starting place.
Good idea.
All right, well, look forward to continuing the conversation. Is there any other agenda items? I don't think there's anything else on our agenda. Is there anything else, any other items anyone wants to discuss? All right, we'll go ahead and end our work session at 5:58.